That's why he uses the imagery of the yoke. Do you remember the yoke from the farm? The frame of metal or of wood that goes over the necks of two oxen so that both of them carry the load in the wagon. A yoke ordinarily is not for one. A yoke is for two. You take the one side. The Lord takes the other. And under the yoke with the Lord, please don't put your head down in the dust or the mud with that defeated approach to everything, because if you do that, then you're finished before you start, not just psychologically, but theologically too. Forever licking your own wounds, inviting yourself to a pity party. You're falling into that trap called self-pity, which is the first downward spiral into depression. Self-pity. Don't do it. Nip it in the bud. And by the same token, under the yoke with the Lord, don't look too far ahead either. If my arthritis is this bad in 2008, what's it going to be like 2 years hence in 2010? What you don't see, what you don't know, is that they will have found a cure for arthritis by 2009. Maybe. And there's a certain group of us here, and I well among you, who will have found that complete healing that comes with the embrace of our God at the moment of death. There's no arthritis in heaven, guaranteed. Under the yoke with the Lord, there's another big temptation to look out there on the right, to compare yourself with other people. As I heard one lady in Pittsburgh express it one day, of course, she was talking about another lady. And she said, if she had to live with my spouse, she wouldn't be smiling so much. Oh, if you do want to make a few comparisons out there on the right, go to the nearest hospital, the coronary care unit, the intensive care unit, the oncology department, the emergency. And if you can leave that hospital under your own steam without a wheelchair under your backside, you almost feel like singing, according to that beautiful Italian proverb, salute a tutti. Health is everything. It's almost true. Almost. Under the yoke with the Lord. Absolutely the best possible focus is to the left, to the crucified. That's God. If that's what happens to God in this veil of tears, can you expect anything better for you and for me? He whispers to us in our pleasures. He shouts to us in our pain. Suffering is the divine megaphone to arouse a dull and drowsy world. He wants our love. And the only way you can get our love is by getting our attention. And isn't that what most suffering is? That little poke in the ribs or something closer to the shock treatments to knock the living you-know-what out of us, to waken us up to the reality of what this life is all about. He'd do anything to get our love. You remember that line from Léon Blois, the French author? He said, there are places in the human heart that have no existence. Man moves into them suffering in order to give them existence. It's suffering that expands the capacity of the human heart to love. And that's what he's after. And his great argument is, I loved you first. Love me back. If you ever have any doubt that God loves you, take a look at the crucifix. If you or I were the only one to be saved, he would have been willing to come all the way down from heaven and die on the cross just for you or for me. We can't even dream of a love like that, except maybe a mother who has just given birth to a little one. She would give her life for that little one.